Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Welcome to Cafe Savage. I'm in a cafe mood today. Yesterday was another Babe Ruth day. We hit it out of the park, quite by chance. If you joined the conversation, we were talking about, have you been the victim of the silent treatment? Nothing to do with politics. I mean, I worked politics in, and I compared Obama to an abusive husband and all of that. But it was primarily that. Today, we're going to do something else. And what we're going to do is talk about a number of things. I'm not going to give the whole show away. I got a number of things flowing around in my brain. For example, in Australia, they broke up a Muslim cell. Oh, I'm sorry, a terrorist cell. Oh, I mean an extremist cell. I mean some kind of cell. Now, although they all had radical Islamic relations, although they were all Muslims, and although they all had Qurans, and they had a sword to cut off people's heads in the streets of Sydney. By the way, quite randomly. That's right. Quite randomly, they were going to rip a person off the street in Sydney and cut their head off. So the tough Aussies, the farm boys, went out and rounded up 15 of the Muslims. I mean terrorists. I mean extremists. Whatever they're calling them now. Extremists now? I don't know what they call them. Somehow they're all Muslims, though. So they raided a dozen properties, of course, Sydney. And blah, blah, blah. They detained them. Right away, the Muslim pressure groups come out and say, racism, you're picking on us. You know the whole story. They come there, live on welfare, then spit on the people and want to cut their heads off. Isn't liberalism great? Isn't that wonderful? Isn't liberalism, isn't an open society wonderful? Isn't it wonderful to be welcoming to those beheaders around the world? Listen to me. What I really want to say, I can't say right now, but I'm telling you, if it keeps up, what is going to happen is what has to happen. And so the police chief said it was a plan to gruesomely kill a randomly selected person to shock and horrify the public in Australia. And so they arrested a number of them and released nine of them. They've issued an arrest warrant for a guy, a 33-year-old former Sydney nightclub bouncer. And there's nothing you could say about that. We have the same thing here. It's only a matter till I cut your head off. You know the old arguments you're going to hear about Muslim jihad. The leftists will say immediately, look at what Israel's done. Not all Muslims are bad. Most are peaceful. Timothy McVeigh, the Ku Klux Klan hung people. You're going to hear it. Then they'll bring up colonialism, imperialism. They'll bring up the Tasmanians. Then they'll bring up the koala bears. You get it? See how liberalism operates? Liberalism and Islamism are sisters. They're cousins. And even if Islamism winds up killing liberals, they'll say that it's okay to make up for the excesses of the, well, I'm going to stop right there. You know, I'm watching the Scottish independence vote as we speak, and the only thing about it that bothers me is the price of scotch and salmon. I really don't know what they want over there. What do they need independence for? It's a welfare state. I mean, this is probably the product of 1,400 years of eating haggis to come up with this idea of Scottish independence. They got it good now. They live off the welfare dole coming out of England, you know, the financial capital of Europe. What do they want independence for? For a flag? It reminds me of the fools in Hawaii who want an independent nation of Hawaii. That makes sense. I mean, what are they going to export poi to the world? I mean, there's a huge market for poi. It's crazy. The whole independence movement is nuts. Although I understand it emotionally, financially it doesn't make any sense. I'd love an independence movement in America to break away from the federal government. But where? How are you going to break up America? In what sectors? Nothing makes sense anymore. And then I'm thinking really about this. There's a Proposition 47 coming up in California in the election in November. Prop 47 is a very interesting proposition that has national implications. You know what it is? And that is this. It will change six nonviolent petty offenses from felony punishments, which now can carry prison time, to misdemeanor punishments, which will probably not carry prison time. And the proposition is meant to save hundreds of millions of taxpayer dollars per year. Right now, California spends $62,396 per prisoner each year. $10 billion a year overall on the prison system. That is larger than the entire state budget of 12 other states, right? But the question is California any safer? The recidivism rate is so awesome that many offenders return to prison quite often. And in California, they spend only $9,200 per K-12 student. The average salary of a new teacher, $41,000 a year. Are you listening? And while California has built 22 prisons in 30 years, it has built only one new public university. Now, there's an answer to it, which is to eliminate illegal alien, the flooding of illegals into California. That would be as sensible as anything, because one-third of all the prisoners are illegal aliens, and they're not being arrested for immigration crimes. They're being arrested for real crimes. So that's not in this article. But nevertheless, Prop 47 would change the sentencing. Petty offenses would go from felonies to misdemeanors. And what are the petty offenses? You don't know what they are. I have them for you. I did the research. Prop 47. Here are the crimes to be reduced from... Play the Cafe Savage sound, Neil. I'm in the mood to be in a cafe. I wish I was still a bohemian. I would sleep off the afternoon. Why am I even doing this? What do I care about all of this? I was going through my old journals. I was so brilliant when I wasn't working. All the years I thought I wasn't working, I was writing my best stuff in my journals. It's amazing for me. Isn't that amazing how life is? Not that what I'm doing now is not great. But I look back at my journals, and I found one from 1982. 1981, January 13th, 1981, in a North Beach bar. See, that's what I would do sometimes in the afternoon. Is I'd sit and drink coffee or wine. And I quote, okay, you could turn off the music. I got their attention. And I read what Emerson wrote. Emerson wrote this. This is the beginning of the journal. It's a brocaded journal, one of my many journals. And it's a quote from Emerson where he wrote, novels will give way by and by to diaries or autobiographies. Captivating books. If only a man knew how to choose among his experiences that which is really his experience and how to record truth truly, wrote Emerson. That was a nice quote that I put at the beginning of the book. And I named this journal The Great American Journal. And I found some amazingly interesting entries. Dreams, memories, reflections, hopes, whatever. It was a very interesting year in my life. And I found a dream that I had had in 1982. I'm going to read it to you, then go back to the news. I'm just jumping around. Make believe. Okay, here's how you set your mind up for this show. I own the cafe. You've come in for a coffee or a glass of wine or whatever. I'm the guy behind the counter, and I'm telling you stories. I started with the news about the beheading. I go to Prop 47, and I say, wait a minute, let me read you something from my journal. Then we'll go back to the news stories of the old newspapers, right? So here's what I wrote. Just listen to this dream, 1982. I am leading a group of old and new friends to a tropical beach. Some of the people are my religious friends, some from Hawaii, where I used to live, some from the Bronx. We pass an Orthodox Jewish funeral. They are praying, wailing, and about to inter the corpse. I turn to a rabbi friend and I say, I am not afraid of funerals. I am the dead man. The rabbi and the mourners each are as well. His face becomes a broad smiling light. He says to me, the rabbi says to me in my dream, when I was a little boy, I had a long gray beard down to my toes. Nobody saw the beard. They wanted me to be a child, but I couldn't. My beard got in the way. 1982, Savage Journals, one day to be published, one day to be housed in a university. And I'm sitting and saying, I'm doing radio now instead of journals. It's an interesting change. It's not entirely different. I stopped writing journals when I started doing radio because my radio became my journals, my verbal journal. In other words, much of what I think winds up on the show. I mean, it's formulated in a different manner now. I don't write such philosophical thoughts. I don't generally talk about my dreams. I like that dream about a rabbi who said he was born with a gray beard. I like that. It's a good children's story. Don't call on that. There's nothing you could say. There go the calls right away. So the society has gone from the bohemian to the beatnik to the hippie to the hipster in four quick steps. And now, of course, here we are on the radio, the most skeptical show in radio, hopefully entertaining. And where was I when I so rudely interrupted myself? Proposition 47, that's right. And they want to reduce incarceration because they're spending $62,000 a year per prisoner, per year per prisoner. in California, and they got to do something. So it's on the ballot. Six nonviolent petty offenses will be reduced to misdemeanors. What are the offenses? One, shoplifting, where the value of property stolen does not exceed $950. Two, grand theft, where the value of the stolen property does not exceed $950. Three, receiving stolen property where the value of the property does not exceed $950. Forgery, where the value of forged check, bond, or bail does not exceed $950. Fraud, where the value of the fraudulent check, draft, or order does not exceed $950. Writing a bad check, where the value of the check does not exceed $950. But here's the real kicker. Personal use of most illegal drugs. It's all a front to decriminalize the use of all drugs. That's what Prop 47 is really about. If they're using all of this other stuff as a cover to decriminalize the use of all drugs, which is an interesting topic, my feeling is it will only produce even more drug addiction rather than less. You know, I'm not in favor of incarcerating everyone for drug use, but you could kill the drug dealers as they do in Malaysia. You could put up billboards across California which say, drug dealing is a capital offense. If you're caught the first time, we give you the electric chair or whatever. You get a death penalty. That tends to put a damper into drug dealing. If you were to make it not a felony, but punishable by death, drug dealing for the first time, if you're found guilty and convicted, you get executed within a year after one appeal. That would do more than, I think, changing this structure of arresting people for using drugs. Because without drug dealers, there would be very little drug usage, right? So I don't know, it's an interesting question. I don't know if you even want to talk about it. There's other stuff in the news. The phone number is 855-400-7282. Or I'll tell you what I'll do. If you're in the mood, because it's Cafe Savage Day, you know what it is? It rained last night. I woke up, thank God, to a little drizzle on the outside. I feel like, I don't know, it's like weird change of weather here in California. A little rain, beautiful. It's the kind of day you just want to stay in bed and read. And instead of staying in bed and reading, I'm going to sit in bed and talk to you on the Savage Nation. I'm not really in bed. I'm in front of the microphone, but would you rather I read for my journals for a while? I mean, what do you want me to do? Talk about beheadings in Australia? Prop 47? ISIS? Schmeisis? Or would you rather I read for my journals? Whatever you want to do. I mean, I'm not committed to either of it. Or the vote in Scotland. That's going to come down as we talk. Or tonight. Or you want to talk about President Obola? I mean, we can talk about President Obola if you want. You want to talk about fighting ISIS without ground troops? Whatever. Happiness, human happiness, I'm not going to talk about. That's your problem, not mine. Let's see. We got some callers here already coming into the cafe. We got some callers in the cafe. I wouldn't say they're flooding in, but they're poking their heads into the cafe to see what's going on, see if anyone's going to sit down and talk to the cafe proprietor today. And they've come up to the counter and they said, okay, Mike, here's my phone number, 855-407-2822. Ken on WFTW in Florida. You're up on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike. My daughter lives in Australia, and she and I were talking yesterday. That was a coordinated raid in each of the cities, Brisbane, Sydney, and Melbourne, by the authorities. And what really worries me, that makes me feel unsafe for her, is that they cannot carry any weapons in Australia. So, you know...
Oh, yeah, but the Muslims, I mean, I'm sorry, the terrorists, I mean, excuse me, the militants, I mean, the extremists had a big sword that the police put into an evidence bag, a huge sword with Arabic writing on it, which probably said death to infidels. These are bloodthirsty vampire ghouls who should be thrown out of the country. Why are they even in Australia? Why does Australia permit them to stay there and suck them dry on welfare? Tell me why they don't kick them out. Any sane nation would throw them out and say, you know what? Get the hell out of my country. Goodbye. Sue me if you want. Take me to the UN. Goodbye. I'm sorry. I get so angry over it. See, this is why I don't want to talk about it. We're sitting here like morons waiting to have our heads cut off. Instead of being proactive and throwing them out. When I say what I mean by throwing them out, who am I talking about? I'll let you figure it out. You figure out who it is. We have mosques here in America where they preach, kill the infidel, and we can't do anything about it. The police's hands are tied. Remember in New York, they were monitoring a mosque? They attacked the police for being racist. Here in San Francisco, 2 years ago, the police chief wisely said we should be worried about the Somali community. They almost fired him for doing his job. Liberalism is a mental disorder. It will kill all of us. Liberalism is a mental disorder that is killing all of us. Liberalism is a pox upon the earth. I'm warning you. I'm warning you. It's a pox that will kill you too. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
On Thursday, said they thwarted a plot to carry out beheadings in Australia by supporters of the radical Islamic State group. Biggest raid in Australia's history. 800 federal and state police officers came in response to intelligence that the Islamic State group leader in the Middle East was calling on Australian supporters to kill. Why don't they deport them? Have instant hearings. Throw them out of the country. I don't quite get it. What's this with the open society that Soros has been pushing for 25 years, his open society? Look what it's led to. Soros is destroying the world along with his stooge, Obama. Open society, my eye. We need a closed society to save. To save America, we need a closed society, not busted borders. All right, I'll get back to Cafe Savage, that's all. That's why we're talking about Prop 47. It's a mask, it's a game, it's a scam to make sure they can't deport illegal aliens caught with drugs. I know what it is. That's all. WMAL in Washington. Dylan, go ahead. You're up on the Savage Nation topic, please.
Yes, Dr. Savage. Portugal is a very interesting situation. You have a country that legalized all narcotics. Well, not legalized, but more decriminalized. It's been proven and shown that decriminalization of narcotics and understanding and treating the use of drugs as a disorder rather than a criminal act leads to lower drug crime.
Sure it does. And what is Portugal's economy like as a result of all the drug addicts who flock there from all over the world in order to enjoy the drug state of... I mean, Portugal hasn't done anything since they conquered South America 500 years ago. What's Portugal known for? Madeira wine? They don't produce anything. Is there a Portuguese car? A Portuguese television set? Portugal's nothing. It's an antiquated nation. Of course they're doing wonderfully. It's a welfare state. Yeah, give everyone drugs. Give everyone a free check, $50,000 to sit home and get stoned. What a great society. Great idea. What a great idea that is. Let more people become stoned. Unbelievable stupidity going on out there.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Western societies are open societies, which is why we're dying. As nations, the openness, the excessive openness. I'm not calling for a police state. I'm not calling for a militant theology that runs a nation. But there's a limit to what openness can be accepted by any society. And we've so passed that point that we are now being flooded by vermin, would-be terrorists coming here under asylum claims. Obama, by the way, made it easier for people who had even a mild association with terrorism to come in as asylees. He just did that on his own a few months ago. I have it in Stop the Coming Civil War. You don't want to know the truth. You don't want to know how bad this guy is and how distorted liberalism is. He made it easier for people to come in who had ties to terrorists than before, all on his own. So now we have more welfare leeches, more would-be head cutters, more diseases from the third world because liberalism is a mental disorder. I mean, it's unbelievable to me. Look at Australia, what they just woke up to. They were going to carry out a beheading in public, taking a random person off the street in Sydney and cut their head off. What a religion of peace this is. Now, immediately they said they're not Muslims. I don't know what, they weren't Zoroastrians. I don't understand. Why do you always go out of the way to say it's not Muslims? I don't get it. Maybe that would embarrass the Muslim community into doing something. You know, like, get your house in order, baby. What do you mean they're not Muslims? They think they're Muslims. They say they're doing it for Islam. Government says it believes 100 Australians are actively supporting extremist groups from within Australia. Oh, and they don't throw them out? Recruiting fighters and grooming suicide bomber candidates? This is like Hitler's in power in Germany, and you've got cells, Nazi cells, but you're not allowed to catch them and throw them out? You have to wait for the courts to act? All the Whigs put in there by the government? The liberal governments give them 10 years of asylum, 10 years of trials, 53 lawyers for free. What a stupidity. You pass an emergency act, you throw them out. Anyone even loosely connected to them, including their mother, throw them out too. Throw the mother out too. Why? Because as George Orwell wrote, if a man comes to put a bomb in your mother's house, put a bomb in his mother's house first. What are you sitting here waiting for? A Sydney money transfer business owned by the sister and brother-in-law of convicted terrorist Khaled Sharouf had its license suspended this week on suspicion it had been sending $1 million Australian dollars a month to the Middle East to finance terrorism. You hear this? But what? So they're now going to give her a trial? Transfer business, you see? Money transfer, sister and brother-in-law. Oh, yeah, it's limited to a few. Yeah, only a few. Yeah, give them all trials. Give them all the trials they deserve. See, they're taking advantage of it. It's a Trojan horse. Liberalism is a Trojan horse. And extreme liberalism is a mental disorder. That's all. So we're watching this now, the Scottish independence. I don't know where that's going to end up tonight. That's an interesting one. I don't even understand what they want it for. I guess they don't want anything to do with England. You know, maybe they had enough of the stupidity of 10 Downing Street. Who knows if they'd be any different? I mean, are the Scots fundamentally more conservative? I don't know. I really don't know what they are in Scotland. Like a silent people. Log throwing. I mean, you say Scot to me. Big guys with logs and skirts who occasionally eat haggis. You say Portugal. What image do you get when you say Scotsman? A big guy with a skirt who throws a log and drinks Scots whiskey. If he still drinks it at all, I don't know what he drinks. He could be drinking soda today. Like you see Irish drinking. They don't drink anymore in Ireland. That's another stereotypical image, the Irish drunk. The consumption of alcohol in Ireland is lower than it ever has been. They're all on Prozac and they're drinking soda. But in Scotland, I don't know what they drink in Scotland. I don't know what they eat in Scotland. Haggis is disgusting. It's like guts filled with... Ugh. What is haggis? I know what haggis is. Why would anyone eat that? It's like an intestine stuffed with... Ugh. Would you go anywhere to eat haggis? Why? That's like poverty food. I was in an Italian restaurant the other day, starving to death. The guy, I asked them to make something for me before I got there. I come and I told you I'm sitting dying. Famished. I said, give me something, for God's sakes. I don't want to fill up on white bread and olive oil. She brings me a plate of beans. You hear this? I said, I'm not a peasant working in the fields of Padua. I don't want beans. I don't have the gene necessary to break down the beans. I'm not a bean eater. My stock doesn't do well with beans. I found that a long time ago. I don't do well on beans. First of all, there are beans that are toxic for most Europeans. Fava bean, hemolysis, I wrote about it in 1981 in The Skeptical Nutritionist. Watch out for fava beans. Certain ethnic groups lack the gene necessary to break down fava beans, and you wind up with fava bean hemolysis, with actually internal bleeding. People don't even know it. Fava beans have become very popular again. It's like, I don't know about mushroom. Once in a while, I eat a mushroom. If I go to the store, I like to buy the shiitakes. I think I'm doing myself a favor. I'm thinning my blood, building my immune system. I don't like the taste at all. I mix them into an egg once in a while. I mean, what do I need it for? I don't need all that garbage. I take a lot of vitamin C, pounds. You know how many grams of vitamin C I take a day? You know how much vitamin E I take? You know how much vitamin A I take? You know how much multivitamins I take? You know how much garlic I eat? You know how much alcohol I consume? You're not going to. Maybe one day I'll write a health book when I've reached a certain age that I feel I can tell everyone what to do. How can you write a health book if you're young and you don't know how old you're going to die? How can you believe anyone writing a health book under the age of 80? The thing about it, it's an interesting question. Well, I love the doctors who are out of shape on Fox News and CNN, the doctor experts. These pudgy guys from Upper Manhattan who look like they perform endoscopies and take selfies are giving you advice on nutrition, which they rejected for 50 years, calling everyone in the nutrition field a quack. Now the guy's an expert, talks fast, and rushes back to the endoscopy clinic to perform biopsies. That's what he looks like to me. Well, how would you trust a guy like that? Okay, if you're 80 years old and you write a book on health, I would listen to you. It's an interesting idea. Maybe you know something, but what do you know? You know what you read. You don't know from your personal experience whether you're right or wrong. I love everybody with the code words, you know, eat raw foods. Why should I eat raw foods? Enzyme. They don't know what an enzyme is. If you were to challenge someone that says enzymes, what an enzyme is, they would go blank on you. It's like gluten. Say, I'm on a gluten-free diet. Great. What is gluten? Don't know. But I'm not on it. Remember, boys and girls, gluten is good for you. Unless you have a disease, gluten is glue. I mean, gluten is a protein found in wheat. Let's say for 5,000 years, the staff of life, all of a sudden, some schmuck in Berkeley discovered, oh, everyone should be on a gluten-free diet. The whole world is a gluten-free diet. You have to change every food into gluten-free. I don't know if it works for you. Good luck to you. Another hula hoop of the nutrition world. Australia has estimated that about 60 of its citizens are fighting for the Islamic State group and the Nusra Front. Another 15 Australian fighters have been killed. Kill them all. Kill the 60 citizens and their families. Throw the families out of the state. Why don't you just say, if any of you are going over there to fight, we're taking your families and deporting them. Because they're all guilty and you know it. What do you think, they were raised in a vacuum? What do you think, the mother's a doll who loves Australia and salutes the Australian flag? She sits there spitting on Australia and the Australian flag. But the welfare check, that's good. They figure if you're that stupid to give them a welfare check, you deserve to die and have your head cut off. If you're that dumb. What do you want to talk about? Crime committed by jihad, terrorists, Scottish, Australia. I know Australia's more conservative than America now. No, but I asked about Portugal. I mean, I don't understand Portugal. No, I asked about Scotland. What's Scottish politics like? Are they conservative, liberal? I don't know. Are they like the nuts in England? Are they the people who've given up their nation where the number one birth name in England is Muhammad now? That's smart. That's really great. Take a look ahead 20 years in England, what that's going to be. Any white people left will be beheaded. Isn't that common sense? Isn't that where they're going? They're giving their country away. Stupidity, liberal stupidity. Well, there's another side to it. White people aren't having children. The birth rate's down. There's not a replacement value. I mean, you need a replacement value. I think it's 2.9 or 3.1 per couple. You figure one dies or whatever before having a baby. But the birth rate is so low in Western countries where birth control and random sex has so taken over. In other words, you throw God out. I mean, I'm not knocking it. Everyone likes sex. Don't be stupid. I didn't say that. I'm just saying that as a result of it, there's no children. Very few. Now, don't tell me you have five. Please don't call me and tell me that. God bless you. One. I'll send you a freak flag or whatever. But you need a replacement of 2.9 or 3.31 children per man and woman to, you know, sustain the society. We don't have it. Was it 1.3 here? You know that the lowest birth rate among Caucasian people is, I forget the country, it's, I think it was Serbia. They were so psychologically beaten up by the liberals who blamed them for everything wrong in the Balkans. They basically committed. Russia has a very low birth rate. A very low birth rate. Girls just want to have fun. They want to shop Prada and wear beautiful high heels. What do they need ugly babies for? To distort their stomachs. Girls just want to have fun. But that's the thing about Ukrainian women. I mean, the thing is, I mean, I'm not, I say this in a positive manner. At 20, your heart stops and they walk by. At 30, they look like Stalin's housekeeper with a babushka. I don't know how that happens in 10 years. How does it work? You know, here's the other thing that always throws me off about Russians and Ukrainian women who are suddenly considered, you know, amongst the most beautiful in the world. You look at footage from World War II. Of the Nazis invading and the Russian counteroffensive driving the Nazis out. And you see that, like, the shots of the women, you're trying to look like, how do they don't even look like that anymore? What was it? What were they eating? Was the diet different? I don't get it. Was it gluten-free? I know it's gluten-free now. I don't know what it is. You look at them back in the 30s, the 40s, during the horrible war years, nobody looked particularly different and beautiful. I mean, underneath the babushka, there were beauties. No wonder the Germans were invading. No, I'm just joking. So what were they after, the Germans, the Nazi bastards? I'm so glad. Every time I see them trying to take Stalingrad, and I love to watch how they almost got Stalingrad, then the Russians fought back in the rubble, and then they encircled. Stalin brought out the troops. I love it to watch the Katusha rockets flying off the trucks. Stalin laid back until he sucked the Germans in. They thought they were going to take Stalingrad. They thought that they had the city, right? Little did they know that Stalin kept back 1 million troops and something like 100,000 tanks in Siberia. And all of a sudden, the next thing that the Nazi vermin know is that here they come, 1 million troops in white screaming, ah! They look Mongolian, Siberian, the Asiatic Russians. And they wade into the Russians. They capture 900,000 of them. And 5,000 Nazis survive internment in the war. They didn't give them $62,000 a year treatment. No, they remember what they did to the country, the homeland, the fatherland of the motherland of Russia. the Nazis. So they captured 900,000. The end of the war, 5,000 Germans went home to Helka. They went back to Helka, to the nice tablecloth in Berlin. No, no, they didn't give them $62,000 a year treatment in the Russian prisons. They didn't give them ethnic meals. They didn't give them special treatment, medicine, legal, dental work. No, no, they worked them to death. That's all for what they had done to their country. That's another time. Look, it's a cafe. I'm just talking. Everything I say is factually correct, but I'm just rapping. It's a rap. 855-407-282. Look at this. Look what's going on in this country. What a world. Scotland. I say Scotland, all I think of is smoked salmon and Scotch whiskey, which I drink. I can't think of anything else. There's no Scotch car, is there? You can't say a Scotch car. There's Scotch tape, but that's not made in Scotland. Why do they call it Scotch tape? What's it, because it's a check? It's like a check. No, Scotch tape. It's a check package. Scotch, you know, Scotch plaid. That's not made in Scotland. What do they make there? I don't know what they make. You ever go to like a Scottish ethnic store, you can get a kilt. You get like a something with a sheep on it. I don't know. I don't get it. I would never eat haggis. That's something I'm never going to try. You know, like bizarre foods, haggis? Ugh. Disgusting. Bad enough eating in restaurants in San Francisco, never mind haggis in Scotland. But I don't know their politics. I don't know what they want to break away for. What is this? WMAL, Andy, do you know anything about why the Scots want to break away from England?
There was a caller called into another show, a counterpart of yours I was listening to yesterday, and he's from Scotland. He said his family, they don't even recognize the neighborhood they grew up in because this is south of the border, I mean, in England. They don't even recognize the neighborhood because of the Sharia law courts, and they're losing their culture. They feel as though England is pretty much a failing experiment at this point.
Yeah, but wait a minute. Isn't Scotland also infected with liberalism, and aren't they overrun by Muslims? I mean, let's clear the air here.
I believe they are. It may be a little too late, but that's...
Thank you. Right. It's too little too late. They need to pass new laws about asylum, and they need to pass a law which says if anyone in a family is convicted of terrorism, the entire family is deported. How's that? Would that work? Would that tend to put a damper on their little activities of cutting off heads in public squares?
Yes,
I'll be
sir.
Right back. It's the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-CO-I-N. So all of the young mothers, they're lost. They have no mothers to teach them anything, and they don't know how to even feed their babies. And now they're feeding them raw foods, you hear? They're not field mice. Field mice gnaw on raw foods. Babies need cooked foods, by and large. The idiocy, I've never seen anything like this. They think they're going to reinvent everything. You know, there was a great anthropologist who wrote a treatise 50 years ago called The Raw and the Cooked. His name was Levi Strauss. I read him in the original French. I had to read Levi Strauss, La Pensée Sauvage, The Savage Mind. Interesting, I had a seminar with a professor one summer in graduate school where I was his only student. It was the way the teaching is done. And he forced me, not forced me, the assignment was read La Pensée Sauvage in French, which I did. And we discussed it, The Savage Mind. And then Levi Strauss also wrote The Raw and the Cooked, where he determined in his mind that the differential between the primitive societies and advanced societies was when man started to cook food, they ceased being hunters and gatherers. So now we've got a primitivism, a tribalism, a reversion going on here in the United States and West. They think that they're moving forward when they're actually moving backwards. You're not a cave person. They're not healthier. They'll die younger. They're lacking essential nutrients if you put them on these extreme vegetarian diets. Your baby's near starvation, malnourishment. Is killing most of these babies in these households. You just put a kid near a piece of chicken when they're a vegetarian, and the mother turns her back, the child will grab the chicken off his friend's plate. They're starving their kids to death. Put a piece of chicken near a vegetarian child, see what happens.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. We'll be right back. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is The Savage Nation. It's Cafe Savage today. It's kind of a lazy day out there. There's nothing really going on. The world's falling apart. Scotland is seeking independence. The Muslim extremists are trying to cut heads off in Australia. More asylum is being offered to would-be terrorists by Obama. There's nothing going on in the world, nothing important. You just stay asleep now, boys and girls. You just stay asleep. Just stay asleep. Be narcotized by the liberal open society in which you live. Don't be vigilant. Ben Franklin talked about vigilance, and you need to be eternally vigilant, not only for your own health, but for your own family and your own society. But hey, vigilance is actually a crime. You see, vigilance is considered to be somewhat nationalistic. If you get too vigilant, you may become a terrorist. You may be a terrorist if you actually start to question authority, as liberals once taught all of us. Now that they are the authority, you're not allowed to question them. 855-407-282, any topic is really the fair game today, any topic we've been talking about or others. I don't know. We have sound. I don't know how good it is. Carrie calling up Code Pink. They're a bunch of old... You know, the Code Pinkers, you know what they remind me of? Guava on a jungle floor. You want to step over it. You don't want to step on it. Why are they even allowed into Congress to upset people? Who are they? A bunch of old women from San Francisco who are way over the hill? Code Pink. Now they're determining foreign policy. You hear this? So they interrupt Kerry. And okay, let's go to clip one. Here's John Kerry arguing with the Code Stinkos. Let's hear it. Code. Clip one, my friend. Easy. Real hard. Real hard. Clip one.
I understand dissent. I've lived it. That's how I first testified in front of this country in 1971.
Oh.
And I spent 2 years protesting a policy. So I respect the right of Code Pink.
Sure.
To protest. And to use that right.
Yeah, right, right, right. You're such a great hero of the left. Now all of a sudden you can't believe they're protesting you, John. Right, you threw your medals that you never really earned over the fence. I get it. Let's go to clip two now, John Kerry. Here's what went on yesterday. Let's
see. But you know what? I also know something about Code Pink.
Okay, go on already.
Code Pink was started by a woman and women who were opposed to war, but who also thought that the government's job was to take care of people.
Oh.
And to give them health care and education and good jobs. And if that's what you believe in, and I believe it is, then you ought to care about fighting ISIL.
Okay, now finally gets to three about the sex slaves and whatnot. Finally gets to the Code Stinkos, the guava on the jungle floor in three. Let's hear it.
Because ISIL is killing and raping and mutilating women. And they believe women shouldn't have an education. They sell off girls to be sex slaves to jihadists. There is no negotiation with ISIL. There is nothing to negotiate. And they're not offering anyone health care of any kind.
Sure they are. By cutting off heads, they're eliminating. Look at all of the illnesses that ISIL is eliminating through beheadings. No headaches, no eye troubles, no hearing problems, no ear, nose, and throat visits after that. I mean, you got to look at, that's health care. ISIL's health care is really beheadings, John. You're not looking at it properly. They are offering health care. If they cut your head off, would you ever have another headache? No. Would you ever suffer vision problems? No. Your sinus problems will go away. Hearing loss disappears. So you have that wrong. That is their health care. It's just a different system, John. It's a different economic system that ISIL is using. You see, you're not being compassionate. All right, there's only so much Jonathan Swift that I can do in a day. Here, of course, the day wouldn't be complete without Nancy Pelosi. I don't know how she gets up in the morning without saying, I am a fool. I should shut my mouth for the rest of my life. They're laughing at me because they know I don't know what I'm talking about. Here it is again. Here's Nancy Pelosi in clip nine. You got to just listen. Could you do the Looney Tunes behind it or the cuckoo clock? Either one would be fine. Clip nine. Let's hear clip nine.
We are not there to support combat troops. in any of these engagements. Our purpose is not to engage in civil war in Syria, and our purpose is not to continue the war in Iraq. Our purpose is to stop ISIS from its brutality. ISIS performs outside the circle of civilized human behavior.
That's brilliant. She should get a Nobel for that. You mean they're worse than Republicans, Nancy? ISIS performs outside the circle of civilized human behavior. Didn't you say the other day that if Republicans win, civilization would be doomed? Unbelievable to me. Well, anyway, you get the picture. There's nothing going on in the news. Head cuttings. You know the normal stuff. Taking over a nation through massive immigration. What else? Obama talked to. Knew the end of the war in Afghanistan. I don't want to listen to him. Remarks by the president of MacDill Air Force Base. He's sending all the men into an Ebola zone without any questions from the idiots in the media about the potential risk. I didn't say make it bigger than it is, but ask one question. Say, Mr. President, you're sending 3,000 U.S. troops into an Ebola hot zone. Is there any risk to our troops? Not one question raised by the useless idiots called journalists. Not a single question. None. None. You tell me I'm wrong to even ask the question? Well, you're wrong for saying I should be wrong. What is this now? Navy SEAL, Mike Morrell, New Terror Group. What is this now? Rand Paul. Oh, Warren Buffett and the Burger King deal. You talk about a shyster. Oh, I'm sorry, you can't use that word. Which is the word that they got mad at? Was it shyster was the word? You can't. Shylock. I didn't call him a Shylock. I said shyster. That's not an ethnically derogatory word. Warren Buffett's the biggest con man in history, in my opinion. I don't mind that he's a trillionaire. God bless him. But to say we should all pay our fair share, being a stooge for Obama, to continue to get breaks to block the Keystone XL pipeline because his train company brings the oil in train cars at 10 times the price. So now he does a deal with a Canadian company, which will reduce his tax burden. Simply, he buys the Canadian company to save federal income tax. And it's called a corporate inversion. And his boss, Obama, who out of one side of his mouth says we've got to stop corporations from evading taxes, says nothing about Warren Buffett buying this Canadian company so that he can declare his company a Canadian company and avoid U.S. taxes. Listen to clip number 23.
It is a corporate inversion, and many corporate inversions are tax-driven. They are paying $11.8 billion for the acquisition. Now, if anybody would be paying $11.8 billion to save $30 million of federal income tax, they did not go to the math course that I went to.
No, of course not. You went to the Obama math class, whereas if you get a politician on your side, you pay no taxes or very few. I love when he says pay your fair share, that his secretary pays more than he does. Well, no one's stopping him from paying more. No one's stopping him from not doing a corporate inversion. You see how this works? Whatever. Whatever. I'm looking at Echinacea golden seal propolis throat spray during the break. I have a slight sore throat. No, I was looking on the internet. I use a certain throat spray. I'd like to buy the company. It's such a good thing. At the first sign of a sore throat, you know what I do? The first thing I do is I gargle with vitamin C powder. Spat it out. Then I take 4 grams of vitamin C in a sweet juice. You know, not sugary, but like, say, grape juice, no sugar. The next thing I do is I suck on a zinc lozenge. The next thing I do is I spray my throat with an echinacea mixture that I love. The next thing I do is I had a friend who fought in World War II. I think he's dead now. I don't know. I haven't seen him in years. Remember I told you about old Hank? He was actually in the Battle of the Bulge, and he hid inside a cow during an artillery barrage. Smart guy. I think the 88 millimeters are coming in from the German lines, killing everybody in sight. He went into a dead cow, cut the cow open, and in the blood, you talk about Haggis. This is like a Haggis nightmare. He crawled into the dead cow's body cavity, blood, guts, and he lived through the bombardment. The shrapnel hit the cow instead of him. I guess if Peter had been around, he would have been arrested after the war. But this gentleman, who I met years later through someone else, was a teetotaler. He didn't drink. But he told me with a smile that the best cure for a sore throat at the first signs of a sore throat is to gargle with Scotch whiskey. And he didn't drink it. He'd gargle it and waste it and spit it out. Yep, that's what he told me. That the Scotch whiskey on the membranes of the throat will denature the bacteria, if it's a bacteria that's affecting you, you know. So here we are. What are we going to talk about? Politics again. WBAP in Dallas. Mike, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Well, Dr. Savage, I've got a question for you on Scottish independence. Will it let you back into the country?
I don't know. The English barred me from entering for saying things I allegedly said without a trial, without asking me if I've actually said it. That was done under the Labour government of that preceded the Cameron government. I was told for all those years that Cameron had promised the lawyers that cost me $400,000 that the minute Cameron took over, I would be taken off the list. And the minute Cameron won, they did nothing. They stabbed me in the back anyway. So the question is, I don't know what the Scottish government's like. I have no idea. I know I'm allowed into the Republic of Ireland. I mean, that's the one place I would like to possibly go, to the border of England, and jeer the English for doing this to me. But that's I don't even think about it anymore. I used to love going to London. I like the architecture, the people. But, I don't want to go there and see Burke's, in the square there anymore. I mean, what am I missing in England, truthfully? What, women drunk in the streets with their stockings falling down? I mean, what a nation of... sure, it's left side, whatever, real tennis. I wonder if a friend was at Cambridge. He drank warm beer and played real tennis with a crooked racket. I never understood that. Took me up to Cambridge, and we drank warm beer. It wasn't really warm beer, but it wasn't cold beer. It was just left outside in a crate. It's actually pretty good. I don't drink cold beer. It's very bad for your throat. Yeah, they drink cool beer. Well, not cold, not cool in the sense of hipster cool. They drink cool beer, not cold beer. And then the real tennis, I don't get it. Clay court, I understand. But real tennis as opposed to, what is it, we play fake tennis? I don't get that. He was like an expert in real tennis. Never worked a day in his life. Came from a rich father. Never had to work. Not one day in his life did he ever work. He inherited a fortune and he played real tennis and was in a therapist 5 days a week. Could you imagine spending your whole life not working, just pondering your navel? And going into therapy 5 days a week your whole life, playing real tennis, buying sports cars. I don't understand how you can get... I wish him well. I mean, I actually like the guy. I got along with him well, but we don't talk anymore. He thought I insulted him a few emails ago, like about a year and a half ago. But how could you live your life without performing any kind of useful function? I don't get it. What time is it already? Oh, but the bottom of the hour, we have a wonderful, wonderful guest for you, Lord Monckton. But he's not going to be talking about global warming. No, he's going to be talking about a very controversial topic, and it's not Warren Buffett's burger deal. Lord Monckton has a new article out entitled "The Quran Should Be Illegal," and he says that because he says the Islamic holy book is an incitement to murder, and he's going to cite it. Now, that's his opinion. You may or may not agree with him, but I would say we should listen to this, since while it is true that not all Muslims are terrorists, it is true that almost all terrorists are Muslim. And by the way, I didn't say that originally. It was a Muslim who knows what's going on who said it. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
Here's a very important story. After 8 grueling days of work, Congress has canceled the rest of Congress until after the November elections. I swear to God. Congress heads home after exhausting 8 days of work. This is true. One vote on war and Congress is apparently all tuckered out. House leaders just announced today that they were cutting their already abbreviated fall session short and sending lawmakers home more than a week early. Did you hear this? This is after one vote. They're going home. And they're doing that in order to go out and campaign. So they will have been in session for a total of 8 days between the end of July and the middle of November. This is your Congress at work. That's John Boehner, the great hope of the Republican Party. They've adjourned until after the elections. Can you imagine? Okay, let's go to the callers. Fire away.
I cannot believe that I'm talking to the person I love. His politics, everything. I have been a fan of yours for years. I came over here when I was an 18-year-old girl. in the 50s, but the last few years, I'm a hardcore Republican, and I agree with everything you say.
But you're mad at me for what I said about Scotland.
Just a wee bit.
A wee bit, I like that.
But I have to tell you.
Did you hear what the Scotsman said when he went into a bar? He said, take me to your leader, L-I-T-R-E. I just made that up. I wrote it down in my journal today. The Scotsman walks in a bar and he says, take me to your leader. So what's on your mind?
Have you ever been to Scotland?
No, I've meant to go, but I don't think I'm allowed.
Do you drink the devil's water?
Oh, I do.
Well,
I surely do. I drink the single malt stuff I do.
I have a couple of bottles here. My husband and I don't drink. You can have it. I'll send it.
No, I can buy my own. I mean, I buy very costly single malt. I don't like... What? We're off the air already? What do you mean 10 seconds? What are you interrupting my mind for?
Huh?
No, my call screen has said I have 10 seconds. I don't know what he's talking about. I'm a minute and 38 seconds to chat with you about scotch. I drink the Nun Peaty. I don't like the scent of peat moss in scotch whiskey. I like a more profoundly bitter taste than that. It's wonderful stuff. I mean, you know, it's like alcoholic beverages in general.
Nothing.
It's very nice when you have a sore throat. It's good to gargle with it and then drink it. But what's going to happen if Scotland leaves the UK? What do you think will happen?
Well, I am voting that they do not break away, and all my family is. And there's 5.5 million people in Scotland and 60 million people. And you're wrong about Scotland having all these terrorists there. It's England. But
so wait, the Scots did not bring in... a preponderance of Muslims who have then turned on them? You mean the proportion is lower than it is in England, per se?
Who ruined Scotland. Kennedy's father took away the rights of the Scotch.
Oh, don't get me started with the Kennedy's father job. You know, I studied the Mafia. I know it very well.
No. They...
No, oh, yes. Yeah, I studied it very well. You know, it's the old American way. From gangster to... politician in three generations. That's the American way.
Okay, but let me just...
There's another American story, which is how money goes from red to white in only two generations. Gets washed real clean. Bottom of the hour, Lord Monckton on the Quran. Uh-oh. Gotta be careful of that one.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Is the Savage Nation, and now we're going to talk with Lord Monckton, who is well known on this program for debunking the myth of man-made global warming, which has suddenly died out because the Antarctic ice pack is not cooperating with Al Gore's scam. It doesn't stop them from marching on, but marching on us are the radical Islamists who are everywhere in the West owing to liberalism and our open-door policies, and Lord Monckton has a lot to say about it. Lord Christopher Monckton, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Well, Michael, it's wonderful to be back with you again. I think the last time you and I were together on this show was after Congress, for the first time since it was founded, refused the then minority in the House, which was the Republicans at the time, the right to choose the witness they wanted to choose, namely me, to argue against Al Gore. And they were so frightened that they ran a mile and wouldn't allow me to testify. They said, you can have anybody else except Monckton.
Well, that's the American way today, which is no longer the American way today. But you're arguing today that the Quran should be illegal, or it is illegal?
The Quran is illegal in that in United States law, as in UK law, and also as in Australian law, where I am at the moment... incitement to murder is a serious, imprisonable felony. It's a very serious matter to encourage other people to commit murder. Now, if the Quran were regarded as simply a historical, pre-medieval historical curiosity, and if nobody were paying any attention to its incitement to murder, if nobody in Islam were going around murdering people, then we might look the other way and turn the other cheek and do nothing about it. However, for the last 25 years, very, very nearly all terrorist acts around the world, 9/11 perhaps being the most brutal of the lot, were committed in the name of Allah by people who said that they were doing what the holy book of Allah says. And they were. May I quote from Surah 9, verse 5. When the forbidden months are passed, then fight and slay those who join other gods with Allah wherever you find them. Besiege them, seize them, lay in wait for them with every kind of ambush. Or in 9:29 it says, make war upon such of those to whom the scriptures have been given, who believe not in Allah, or in the last day, and who forbid not what Allah and his apostles have forbidden, until they pay tribute. So you either pay tax, called the jizya, which is known as dhimmitude, or what you do is you get killed. The Quran is here explicitly inciting followers of the Quran to commit murder against unbelievers. And if you...
Hold on. I know what you say is correct. And you're speaking to someone who understands the danger we're in, especially pertinent today, the fact that in Australia they've arrested 15 jihadists or would-be jihadists who were going to grab someone off the streets of Sydney and behead them right in the streets. Unbelievable to me that this goes on as a result of this ultra-liberalism, the insane immigration policies, asylum and whatnot. But let's clear the air. You know, when you even write, that the great majority of Muslims, wherever they are in the world, do their best to live in peace with their neighbors. So what is it you're arguing for, that the Quran strike these passages?
Now, I think what we're not in the business of is denying people their holy book. I don't think we're in the business of censorship or banning books. That's not what we do in the West. That's what the totalitarians do. That's what the Saudi Arabians did until recently. They banned the Bible. And if you were found with a Bible in your possession, you could be, and some people were, beheaded. So we do not behave as they do. We don't behave to them as they do to us, because the Judeo-Christian tradition is a far gentler tradition. It's far more respectful of those who may...
Yeah, but wait a minute. Yeah, but that's what's getting us killed. They understand that we're far more gentle, so they're taking advantage of that so-called turn-the-other-cheek gentleness. If this goes on, there's going to be none of us left in 100 years.
That's quite right, and that is why what I'm suggesting, it's a modest proposal, but it's a very straightforward one, it is that you take all those passages in the Quran, and that's something like 62% of the entire Quran, which express hostility, venom, hatred, and murder towards those who are not believers in Islam, and those passages should, after a two-year period of grace, be printed in bold type in red. And at the front of the Quran, there should be a warning that in the law of the United States, it is illegal to read these passages out aloud, because taken with a couple of the verses that I've read out, they constitute incitement to murder, a serious imprisonable felony.
All right, let's be fair. Lord Monckton, I agree with you in principle, but you're going to have objections from the Orthodox Jewish community, which has the Old Testament, in which in Ecclesiastes you have an awful lot of... murder the woman if she does this, murder homosexuals. It's all in the Old Testament. Maybe they should put that in red.
Here's the thing. In the Old Testament, we Christians have come along and said, no, that's not the way it is. Because the emphasis, both in the Old Testament and in the New, is on loving your neighbor and not killing him. And it is well understood that some of those passages in the Old Testament that recommend bloodthirstiness are... in a historical context, and they do not apply today. Now, what is the problem with the Quran is that there is no such context. The entire book, virtually, I mean, certainly 62% of it, is preaching hatred and murder. It's a very, very different order of magnitude.
I agree with you in that regard. No, but in other words, in order to point out the realities of what you're saying and put those passages to murder infidels in red, you really think that the fanatics are going to believe that they shouldn't practice that if it's still in their book?
Look, you've got to start somewhere. If we sit there and just take it, they're going to go on killing our own kind. Is that sensible? Yeah. No, it isn't. We have to make it plain to them that whether they like it or not, we have a pre-existing civilization in which they have chosen to come and live, and they must adapt to some extent to our ways. But that doesn't mean extinguishing their culture altogether. What it does mean is that they should be respectful of ours. And no small part of our culture is our system of law. And everybody, including Muslims, is subject to the same law. And incitement to murder, by if it's done by a Muslim, is just as much incitement to murder as if it's done by you or me. We are not in the business of recommending that people should kill each other. That is what the Quran does. It is time to make that explicit and to print a warning in the front of the Quran that if these passages are read out loud, then you are liable to be arrested, tried, and imprisoned for incitement to murder. It's time we don't just go on taking this on the chin while they hide behind the fact that they say this is a holy book and that's what it tells them to do.
Originally this was written to conquer the world. Originally, this was written by their prophet to conquer all surrounding tribes, villages, and cities, and to justify it under a religious banner. But nothing has changed. Now, Christianity has gone through a reformation, has it not? I mean, we all know that.
Well, yes, Christianity arguably shouldn't have gone through the particular reformation it went through, but either way, and of course there's been many, let's be very clear, there's been many killings done in the name of Christianity, which ought not to have been done. The Crusades, where we went off to Jerusalem and started killing Muslims in large numbers, that was wrong. I'm not saying that we have clean hands here. What I am saying is...
But that was also, that was 1,000 years ago. I mean, we're talking about... this mentality in our backyards today. This is what we're speaking about, Lord Monckton, is it not?
And so what we mustn't do is to say, well, just because 1,000 years ago Christians and Muslims killed each other indiscriminately and brutally, therefore it's all right for Muslims to do that today, when Christians are setting a better example by following the message, which is very plain, thou shalt love God, thou shalt love thy neighbor, full stop, no rule three. And now that's a very different attitude to what you get on just about every page of the Quran. This is what I love.
But in Australia right now, you can be sent to jail for saying what you're saying. Isn't that true?
If they try, I think it will finally put this firmly on the agenda. I don't think anyone would dare to put me on trial for saying that we should not encourage people to murder each other. If they're going to put me on trial for that, it'll just merely show how feeble-minded the West has become. So I'm not frightened of that. I think there's more common sense here. The other thing is, as you have rightly said, Muslims don't pay any attention to these bloodthirsty passages that litter the Quran. And instead, they live in peace and harmony with their neighbors. They have their religion, and we have ours. And indeed, the Quran, in some of its earlier verses, says that. Unfortunately, the more bloodthirsty verses, the further on you go into the book, those are the ones that prevail in their understanding, because the more recent verses are the ones that they live by. So what I'm saying is, the Muslims are, most of them, very good people, very good citizens. Indeed, in many respects, their morality is a great improvement on ours. For instance, they do not kill their children in the womb of their mothers without even giving them an anesthetic first. We do, by the millions, every year. In that very important respect, their morality is vastly superior to ours, and we must admit that. And also, if one goes back in history, between the 9th and the 12th centuries, after that first period of slaughter that you mentioned, they settled down, and Damascus and Baghdad, Syria and Iraq, those were the centers of scholarship worldwide. This great period of Islamic learning has given us many benefits today, including, for instance, the classical texts that I studied, the Latin and Greek classical texts, were not preserved in the Dark Ages in the West. They were preserved by Islamic scholars and were found.
Well, of course, but now we have a 9th century version, a retrograde version of Islam that is infecting the mind of tens of millions, where they have gone backwards rather than forwards. And is this not coming from the Wahhabi sect of Islam that is being promulgated by Saudi Arabia?
I think that's a very fair comment. What Saudi Arabia does is it provides vast amounts of money for what I call oil-fired Islam. And the particular way that they spread it is by setting up what are called madrasas. This is an Islamic school, and the only thing that you learn in your entire education in the madrasa, you sit round a table and recite passages from the Quran. And that means you're reciting day after day these blood-curdling threats against those who do not believe in Islam. And that's all they learn. They don't learn anything else in these madrasas. So, of course, they become radicalized because they have no context of civilization, of learning, of mathematics, of history, of law, of geography.
And how can you define it as a religion if it preaches kill everyone around you who's not like you? What kind of religion is that?
Well, it isn't a religion. It's basically a political movement masquerading as a religion, this extreme presentation of Islam. And I find this very sad because even to this day there are Islamic scholars who have much to contribute in the field of the understanding of morality. And some of them are very scholarly indeed. Indeed, if you look at the Ahmadiyya Muslims, for instance, who now constitute one-sixth of all Islam, they are hated by the rest of Islam, but they preach exactly the same peace and love and scholarship. They're really trying to restore Islamic scholarship as the Christians do. And they were founded by an Indian guru late in the 19th century. And they're spreading like wildfire everywhere because even within Islam, many people are realizing that the brutality of the Wahhabist cult, this, as you say, this primitive 9th century cult, is very fierce and very unbecoming. And they're saying, we want to reject that. We want to come closer to the Christians in trying at least to love one another. Of course, we're all going to fail to some degree or another, but at least we ought to start by trying. And that is the Ahmadiyya view. And so they are now one-sixth of all Islam. So there is real
hope. Lord Monckton, please, for my audience, tell us the name of this peaceful sect of Islam. What is it called?
Yeah, let me spell it for you. It's Ahmadiyya.
Ahmadiyya. I'm shocked to hear that there's one-sixth of all Islamic people, Muslims, are following this sect, this peaceful sect?
They are indeed, and it's growing rapidly. Indeed, I had the honor to meet the head of this branch of their religion in England a few years ago. We had at that time 30,000 Ahmadiyya, even in England. It's spreading everywhere, and because it is such an attractive sect. I mean, if you meet the people who are Ahmadiyya Muslims, they are lovely people. They mean absolutely no harm to anyone. They're sweeties. But if you're in Pakistan, for instance, and you are an Ahmadiyya Muslim, the Sunnis and the Shias, who dominate Islam, will not allow you to have a passport. So the discrimination against this wonderful segment of Islam is very strong in some Islam.
That's interesting. I mean, this is a brand new, to me, a fabulously hopeful sign that one-sixth of all Muslims are practicing this branch of Islam, which is peace-loving? Shocking. Why don't we import them into America instead of the Wahhabists, I wonder?
This is exactly it. Of course, the trouble is the Wahhabists, they are following essentially a political creed which says, let's wipe out all other religions. Let's take over. And of course, in one respect, we are making this easy for them. I touched on this before. We kill our babies in the womb of their mother, sometimes without even giving them an anesthetic, which is, of course, torture. And it's illegal, but it's done very widely. And they don't do that. And as a result, the Muslim birth rate is about 4.1 per household worldwide. That's roughly what it comes to. Whereas the replacement birth rate is only 2.1, and the Western birth rate, 1.3.
Terrific. That's really great. Lord Monckton, as usual, you are so far ahead of everyone else, not only on the fraud of global warming, but on the violence inherent in Wahhabist Islam, and the hope that you've given some of us today who've heard you about this peace-loving Ahmadiyya sect. How do you pronounce it, Ahmadiyya?
Ahmadiyya. There's a little bit of an H.
Oh, I need the Semitic Ach. I'm used to the Ach. Ahmadiyya. Lord Monckton, the articles in WorldNet Daily, thank you so much for enlightening my audience today on The Savage Nation.
So go to WND.com for more Monckton every Monday, I should say.
Absolutely. And by the way, keep your head down while you're in Australia.
Well, I'll do my best. But the thing is, what we must do is we must pray for all Muslims. We must love.
I got to go. Lord, I'm so... Well, you know what? Stay on the line. Let's finish the hour with Mr. Monckton. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-CO-IN.
All right, that was a very interesting interview with Lord Monckton, and he can be found at WND.com. They're my partners on MichaelSavage.com. And to learn about this peaceful sect of Islam, Ahmadiyya, is, frankly, hopeful. Well, in the next hour, we're going to give you all the latest news on the Scottish independence, the beheaders amongst us, nice stuff like that, all on the Savage Nation today, which is more like a Cafe Savage Day. We'll have an open mic going into the third hour, so grab it now at 855-400-7282. Be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It's nice to be dancing instead of sitting and struggling in front of a computer. The number one lover is your computer screen. You stare more in the eyes of the computer screen than you do a lover today. Welcome to the show. Think about that, how sterilized our society has become. Staring into the holy grail of the computer screen. And what did she do for you? What has she done for you lately, that computer screen? Nothing. Has she made you eggs? Nothing. Gotten you slippers? No. Gone out and bought you Glenlivet? No. Nothing. Does nothing for you. So the Scotsman walks into the bar and he says, take me to your leader. I think that's a funny joke. I found it in my journal from 1981. I don't know whether I wrote it or I copied it or what. It's in a quote, a take me to your leader, L-I-T-R-E. That's very funny. Voice doctor to the stars was unauthorized doctor in Joan Rivers surgery. Oh, is she ruined. Ooh, the selfie doctor. Dr. Gwen Corovin was in Joan Rivers' operating room when Rivers died. Wow, is that one? You know, you see the family. It's over. There goes the medical license. There go the trips to Martha's Vineyard, the curtsying to Michelle Obama. It's all over. No more curtsying at state dinners. 855-407. We talked about different things in the last couple of hours. I'm doing a Cafe Savage today. I'm in the mood. I'm in a cafe mood. You know what it is? I feel like autumn has arrived because it rained last night. It mellows me out. Rain is an amazing, it's amazingly soothing. We had our first little rain, a teeny little rain. Tiny, teeny. Woke up, the deck was wet. Dog's paws were wet, floor got wet, fur was wet, wiped him in a towel. Very, very nice. But it sedates me. The rain sedates me. It knocks down the pollen. Oh, the air was horrendous with the pine pollen out here in the Bay Area of San Francisco. Woo, horrible, horrible. So here we are, another day, another beheading. Welcome to the Savage Nation. So amongst us, there are people reading a holy book which tells them to cut your head off. How do you like that? And I would have thought that all religions taught tolerance and peace, but go figure. We had Lord Monckton on at the end of the last hour who said that a fully large percentage of the book is about slaying and converting the infidel. Go figure. You wonder where some of the lunatics get it from. They don't get it out of the air. It's not from osmosis. But the good news was that in that interview that we had in that last hour, there was a positive note. He said 1/6 of the world's Muslims are practicing a peaceful version of Islam called Ahmadi. Ahmadi. Well, how about the other 5/6? That's the ones I'm worried about. It's going to take an awful long time for the message to spread that you're not supposed to cut off the infidel's head. That's anyway, here we are. Let's keep moving on. There's nothing I can do about it other than talk about all the news of the day. And if you care to talk about all the news of the day, the phone number is 855-400-7282. You know, I tried to incite interest in Proposition 47 coming up in California, where they want to reduce felonious crimes to misdemeanors to eliminate the number of people in prisons. No one called on that. Because when you looked at it, you know, on the face of it seems like it's a good idea. Crimes to be reduced from felonies include shoplifting, grand theft, receiving property, blah, blah, blah. And personal use of most illegal drugs. It says, oh, it sounds good, but that's not the reason. The reason that they want to do this is so they can prohibit the deportation of illegal aliens who commit these crimes. Once it's no longer a felony, they can't deport them at all. That's all. So I don't know that this is such a great idea. You say, well, don't we have too many prisons? I don't know. I would say that there's another solution, which is go in the prisons. And since one-third of all prisoners are illegal aliens, deport all of the illegal aliens from our prisons in California, throw them out of the country, one-way tickets, out. That immediately opens up beds. It opens up beds right away and put more in there that need to go in there. That's all. 855-407-282. It's common sense. Does that work anymore? I don't know. Detroit, WJR. WJR in Detroit, Michigan. David, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Michael, let's talk doctor to doctor here. Without scholarship, of all opinions are equal, and people have to understand what they're discussing. The Quran is just a book of bumper stickers. The Quran is not the source of the problem. The source is the Sunnah and the Hadith, which are the official Islamic histories and official Islamic teachings. The Quran is just, it's just crazy town. It's just bumper stickers. But if you, until you read the life and the teachings directly from Muhammad, you are wasting your time discussing the Quran. You have to go to the source. The Quran is 10% of the official doctrine. How are you going to avoid 90% and make an opinion? You can't.
All right, so wait, let's go backwards in time together into the great days of the Arabs and how they spread in 25 years and took over a good portion of the world. It was through bloodshed, wasn't it? It wasn't through preaching peace. It was through killing and beheading like it's going on now.
Absolutely. Muhammad ran a crime syndicate. You can get the very good following when you promise people that they can still murder, cheat, and rape, and kill, and do whatever they want if they're going to get a cut of the action. So, it's not me. Don't take my word for it. Trust me, I could be a spaceman. But read the Hadith. Read the official history of Muhammad in the Sunnah. These things are available. They're hard to find. There's a reason they're hard to find. Muhammad is considered by especially the Sunnis as the perfect man whose every faithful person is supposed to emulate his life. Until you understand what his life was, you're talking out of your backside. So, people, don't go getting involved in talking about the Quran because it's a waste of time. You can read bumper stickers on the freeway. Read the Hadith. Read the Sunnah. It's there. You can find it. You will have a problem with your underwear once you read and find out what this kind of person is supposed to be ideal for. He's going to kill you because that's what he did. That's how you take over. You take over people's borders. You take over people's culture. You take over people's language. That's how you get to be,
David, scholastically, we should also talk about after Muhammad died and his successor, Abu Bakr, was one of the originators of most of this conquest. And the caliph, known as Abu Bakr, set up a simple task to subjugate the entire world to Allah. And he did so with little armies of 3,000 or 4,000 Arabs. He raped, pillaged, murdered, buried alive, exactly as ISIS is doing today with small armies, sometimes of as few as 500. They're practicing the very same technique of conquest. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. It's just not even a question. Why do we go around?
Well, because very few people have read as deeply as you have, and certainly not as deeply as people may think I read. They don't understand, I know, the history of the Arab conquests. They think that I'm just speaking in a glib manner. But what we are facing today is a modern version of those early armies that conquered so much of the world in such a short period of time. But it was not done through love. It was not done through peace. They were missionaries with a sword. They were missionaries with no hearts and certainly no care for any other human beings. They killed their way across from Egypt, all of North Africa, as far as China. And they were only stopped by men with bigger swords when they reached Europe. And in the Battle of Poitiers is where they were finally stopped by the French. And they were stopped not through love, not through peace, not through understanding, not through asylum, not through immigration, but by killing them.
Yeah, you can't invite them in because they have no respect for anything but what their own desires are.
I invite anyone who doubts anything I've just said to read The Great Days of the Arabs and begin in the beginning and find out how they conquered from at the period of the death of Muhammad in 632 to the death of Uthman, his successor, in 656. They had conquered all of Egypt, Arabia, Persia, Armenia, all the way up into China in only 25 years, and they didn't do it through peaceful missionary work. That's a fact of reality, David. Let me send you a copy of Stop the Civil War, because unless this administration stops this conquest from within, I pray something horrible does not happen in this country. Stay on the line. 855-400-7282. Let's go to Denver, Colorado. Steve, go ahead, please. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm wondering through all this why the leaders of the Muslim clergy are not speaking up and condemning these actions. If this was a renegade Christian or Jewish cult that was going around beheading and destroying lives indiscriminately, there'd be an outcry from the leaders of those religions.
Well, why they don't do it is because the government keeps saying that they're not doing it. They say they're not Muslims. So that's an escape. And every time Kerry gives a speech or Obama gives a speech or Dempsey gives a speech, they immediately precede it by saying, how do they say it? Islam is a peaceful religion. That's how they precede every discussion of terrorism. Islam is a peaceful religion. Well, it's nice to say it, but how about holding accountable those who teach the religion?
Exactly. And the silence speaks volumes to me.
Look, here's the problem. We're all logical, Western-trained people. We think that reason will prevail. What we don't understand is we're looking at the face of pure evil. The face of pure evil does not understand reason, nor does it care to understand reason. The face of pure evil despises democracy. The face of pure evil despises reason itself. Are you aware of that they mock reason?
Yes.
I bet you don't even know this. But the fanatical Muslims in some of the court proceedings in this country and in Australia have said the truth is no defense. They have also said that democracy is a curse. They've also said that freedom is a curse. So the very societies that let them in to have 16 children and live on welfare, they would like to destroy. How does a society survive unless it faces what is actually going on around it? It's certainly not going to face it by being reasonable. And that's the problem. And there's nothing I can say about this that I haven't already said. It's all I'm going to say on it right now because there's nothing more to be said. 855-400-7282. Let's go to Kentucky, WVLK. Iyad, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead, please.
Yes, hi. I would like to start by saying that there was an Aladdin song where it said, where they cut off your ear if they don't like your face. Unfortunately, Arabs at that time said that this is racism, but now they cut off your face if they don't like it. So I say, Dr. Michael, that you speak not only the truth, but the right truth about Islam. Yesterday, how you put it about McCain, all these stuff. Now, I would like to say that unfortunately...
Yeah, you mean funding the so-called moderate Syrian rebels when there are none? The cowardly Congress goes along with this insanity yesterday, and today they take off and close down the Congress. These morons who don't know what they're doing.
That's right. I'm a Syrian American, and I can say to Mr. Obama, give me one name that is moderate that does not include the name of Islam or an Islamic name inside it. Where yesterday when they asked Kerry which Sunni states are going to be in this coalition, he said it's not a good time for it. Doesn't that mean that those Sunni countries are really funding these ISIS? Which
yes,
is-
of course. It means this government has just decided to fund ISIS, and there's only one goal. It's all a charade to bring American military power to bring down Assad. This is just a gigantic charade to destroy Assad. That's my opinion.
That's right. It's the truth. Because, you know, when I went out of Aleppo coming here to the United States, those who protected me was the Syrian army. It wasn't those rebels. It wasn't those people who were talking about democracy. What democracy? Most of the Syrian scholars whom we thought were liberal atheists, you know, Muslim, but atheists, they turned, just because no one knows, they turned their voice and became all suddenly willing to work with al-Nusra and ISIS, which we always seems to forget that al-Nusra is the same as ISIS.
And no, I hear you. You know, what you're saying, I understand. The average listener doesn't know what you're talking about. They have no idea that the idiot morons in Congress just voted for the death of the Christian community in Syria and possibly a war with Russia, because Russia will not stand idly by when American jets start bombing Damascus. And when American jets start destroying the Syrian Air Force, there's liable to be World War III. This is the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life.
I've never seen anything like it with almost no debate. It is now 21 minutes after the hour. You're listening to The Great Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-CON. Could it be that we now have the first insane president of the century? He's putting 3,000 American boys at risk of contracting an incurable disease called Ebola. How many of them may come back infected without knowing it? You don't have an answer to that. No one does. Because the incubation period is about 72 hours. There's also evidence that it's transmissible by through the air. Why is he doing this with such a high risk? It may have nothing to do with Ebola, by the way. It may have to do with many other things. Is there a word the man says that's believable? What has to happen till you understand everything he touches is destroyed? You know, in my last book, I called him Obama the Destroyer. I compared him to a young child, a precocious child who takes watches apart and can't put them back together again. And then he goes on to the next watch, a fine timepiece, takes it apart, goes, leaves the pieces on the rug and goes on to the next timepiece. He has dissembled virtually every institution in the United States of America. He has destroyed the world order. What has to happen, I ask myself, for the people to awaken? You know, I can only carry this show so far, and there's only so much I can do every day. And my mind and my logic does burn out at a certain point when I encounter the reverse of such logic. Coming from the most powerful man on earth, that he's sending troops to fight Ebola, more troops to fight Ebola than to fight ISIS. That's a little fun fact for you. President Obama is sending more troops to fight Ebola than to fight ISIS. That's your commander in chief. Why is he doing this? Anyone have an answer? It's going to get much worse, I'm warning you. And I'm telling you again, you can do something about it. You can buy Stop the Coming Civil War. That's my new book. It's out October 7th. Why am I hammering the book so much? You think I want to get rich? Let me explain something to you. This country is on the brink of extinction. I laugh if you want. If you tell me that when you read that one out of three children in California is an illegal alien who does not speak English, tell me what the future of this country looks like.
Savage.
Savage. Either they're crazy, super crazy, or totally insane. Most people who are legitimate and sane don't go into politics.
On Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
Beheadings in Australia by supporters of the Radical Islamic State Group. Biggest raid in Australia's history. 800 federal and state police officers came in response to intelligence that the Islamic State Group leader in the Middle East was calling on Australian supporters to kill. Why don't they deport them? Have instant hearings. Throw them out of the country. I don't quite get it. What's this with the open society that Soros has been pushing for 25 years? His open society. Look what it's led to. Soros is destroying the world along with his stooge Obama. Open society, my eye. We need a closed society to save. To save America, we need a closed society, not busted borders. All right, I'll get back to Cafe Savage. That's all. That's why we're talking about Prop 47. It's all it's a mask. It's a game. It's a scam to make sure they can't deport illegal aliens caught with drugs. I know what it is. That's all. So the society has gone from the bohemian to the beatnik to the hippie to the hipster in four quick steps. And now, of course, here we are on the radio, the most skeptical show in radio, hopefully entertaining. Prop 47 is a very interesting proposition that has national implications. You know what it is? It will change six nonviolent petty offenses from felony punishments, which now can carry prison time, to misdemeanor punishments, which will probably not carry prison time. And the proposition is meant to save hundreds of millions of taxpayer dollars per year. Right now, California spends $62,396 per prisoner each year. $10 billion a year overall on the prison system. That is larger than the entire state budget of 12 other states, right? But the question is California any safer?
The recidivism rate is so awesome that many offenders return to prison quite often. And in California, they spend only $9,200 per K-12 student. The average salary of a new teacher, $41,000 a year. Are you listening? And while California has built 22 prisons in 30 years, it has built only one new public university. Now, there's an answer to it, which is to eliminate illegal alien, the flooding of illegals into California. That would be as sensible as anything, because one-third of all the prisoners are illegal aliens, and they're not being arrested for immigration crimes. They're being arrested for real crimes. So that's not in this article. But nevertheless, Prop 47 would change the sentencing. Petty offenses would go from felonies to misdemeanors. And what are the petty offenses? One, shoplifting, where the value of property stolen does not exceed $950. Two, grand theft, where the value of the stolen property does not exceed $950. Three, receiving stolen property where the value of the property does not exceed $950. Forgery, where the value of forged check, bond, or bail does not exceed $950. Fraud, where the value of the fraudulent check, draft, or order does not exceed $950. Writing a bad check, where the value of the check does not exceed $950. But here's the real kicker. Personal use of most illegal drugs. It's all a front to decriminalize the use of all drugs. That's what Prop 47 is really about. They're using all of this other stuff as a cover to decriminalize the use of all drugs, which is an interesting topic. My feeling is it will only produce even more drug addiction rather than less. You know, I'm not in favor of incarcerating everyone for drug use. You could put up billboards across California which say, drug dealing is a capital offense. If you're caught the first time, you get a death penalty. That tends to put a damper into drug dealing. If you were to make it punishable by death, drug dealing for the first time, if you're found guilty and convicted, you get executed within a year after one appeal. That would do more than, I think, changing this structure of arresting people for using drugs. There's other stuff in the news. The phone number is 855-407-2822. So the tough Aussies, the farm boys, went out and rounded up 15 of the Muslims. I mean terrorists. I mean extremists. Whatever they're calling them now. Extremists now? I don't know what they call them. Somehow they're all Muslims, though. So they raided a dozen properties, of course, Sydney. And blah, blah, blah. They detained them. Right away, the Muslim pressure groups come out and say, racism, you're picking on us. You know the whole story. They come there, live on welfare. Live on welfare, then spit on the people and want to cut their heads off. Isn't liberalism great? Isn't that wonderful? Isn't liberalism, isn't an open society wonderful? Isn't it wonderful to be welcoming to those beheaders around the world? Listen to me. What I really want to say, I can't say right now, but I'm telling you, if it keeps up, what is going to happen is what has to happen. These are bloodthirsty vampire ghouls who should be thrown out of the country. Why are they even in Australia? Why does Australia permit them to stay there and suck them dry on welfare? Tell me why they don't kick them out. Any sane nation would throw them out and say, you know what? Get the hell out of my country. Goodbye. Sue me if you want. Take me to the UN. Goodbye. I'm sorry. I get so angry over it. See, this is why I don't want to talk about it. We're sitting here like morons waiting to have our heads cut off. Instead of being proactive and throwing them out. When I say what I mean by throwing them out, who am I talking about? I'll let you figure it out. You figure out who it is. We have mosques here in America where they preach, kill the infidel, and we can't do anything about it. The police's hands are tied. Remember in New York, they were monitoring a mosque? They attacked the police for being racist. Here in San Francisco, 2 years ago, the police chief wisely said we should be worried about the Somali community. They almost fired him for doing his job. Liberalism is a mental disorder. It will kill all of us. Liberalism is a mental disorder that is killing all of us. Liberalism is a pox upon the earth. I'm warning you. I'm warning you, it's a pox that will kill you too. Meanwhile, the Honduran flu has been brought in by Obama through his unaccompanied children, and not one public health official in America, if they even know the truth, will dare say the truth. Not one. You know, I grew up during the Cold War, and I was told how evil the Soviet Empire was, and evil it was. I read Solzhenitsyn's books, especially the Gulag Archipelago. I know what they did with intelligentsia, the intelligentsia who opposed Stalin and the others in the Soviet times. I know how they were first smeared, then arrested. First smeared, blacklisted, then arrested and put into re-education camps. I know about the ex-Soviet Union. I also know that there was a complicit press called, they had two state-run newspapers, Pravda and Izvestia. and they were just tools of the government. Now I wake up in America and I see, I know we've had propaganda, we know about mainstream media and the, you know, in the pocket of Obama, we know that. 1998, I gave the great speech at the Commonwealth Club, Beware the Government Media Complex. This is nothing new. But the extreme to which it has developed is something new. Why? What woke me up to how bad it really is that we've now approached, if not exceeded, the Soviet era in America? Here we have a virus that's endemic in Central America that is appearing as a mystery virus in our schools, and not one public health official will dare say it's endemic in the countries where the unaccompanied children came from. I have not heard it yet. Virtually no network is covering it. Nevertheless, the truth is begging to be told. Now you have Ebola raging out of control where legitimate epidemiologists are saying you can't contain it, cannot contain it, cannot be controlled. They said 5 million people will have to die from the Ebola virus before it burns itself out. By the way, that's the natural course of history, medical history for epidemics, in case you want to understand a little bit about it. Most epidemics will burn themselves out, but they leave a large swath of dead people. You say, well, that's crazy. I mean, we should just let them die. I don't know whether we should just let them die, but I know that bringing American troops to Africa, the hot zone, is the most insane thing I've ever heard of in my life. It's about as insane as bringing in children infected with respiratory illnesses and TB into our schools. But since there's no media to talk about it, there's no trial for those who did this to us. This would be a trial. At any sane time, whoever did this to us would be tried for a crime against humanity. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Islam is a religion of peace. The children who are coming to America are coming here to work. America is a nation of immigrants. Yeah, you've heard it all, haven't you? You know, I gotta take a little time out and move. Give me 20 seconds to tell you something. I have put myself on the line for you, my listener. And I put myself in the front of the line of fire right now with this book, Stop the Coming Civil War. I'm way out there. You know who this government is, and you know what they're capable of, and you know what they're doing to every conservative group they can get their stinking little sweaty hands on. You know what they're doing. And this is only the beginning. I need you, as my troops, to follow me. I need you to follow me. I need you to buy my book, Stop the Coming Civil War. I need you to carry the book alone, the title alone. The title is so incendiary that it says it all. You know, sometimes a title comes along every few decades or every few years that's so powerful that it changes the course of history. I can name five of them. So I'll give you an example. Rachel Carson's The Silent Spring. That book told us all about the dangers of certain pesticides and destroying the ecosystem. It changed our whole view of ecology, environmentalism, gave rise to the environmental movement for better or for worse. Nobody wants a polluted earth, so let's not say they were all wrong. Let's not argue over the benefits of DDT. I know all about it. But the point I'm making is that was a title, The Silent Spring, that changed the course of human history. There have been others. It's not many others, some others. My feeling is Stop the Coming Civil War will be such a book. But it can only be such if you buy it and you carry it and put it on your desk at work. But you have to have the guts to follow me. If I'm willing to put myself out like this for you, then you've got to be willing to put yourself out for you, for yourself in America. You put it on the desk at work, and let's see what happens. Let's see what happens. Let's see who tells you to put the book away that it's not American. Let's see who tells you you can't have that book here. Let's see who tells you that such books are no good. Let's see what happens when these books appear all around America. I don't understand this. I don't understand this country I'm living in. It's like the ex-Soviet Union more and more every day. Just the government media complex every day. Everywhere you turn, something's falling apart. And it's all a result of a few elements in this society, which I don't have to name because you know what they are. What's the point of naming it? What's the point of naming it? You know what it is. I'm going to say liberalism again. You haven't heard it 50,000 times today already on every show? Every day, liberalism did this, liberalism did that, liberals do this, liberals do that. That's baby talk. I wrote that 20 years ago. Now everyone thinks they're geniuses. Alinsky, oh, you're a real intellectual, Alinsky. And they say, community organizer. The guy goes, oh, what a genius. That's a PhD word. He's a community organizer. How many times do you have to hear the same words till you turn it off? I am sick and tired of a political structure that is so wimpy in the face of such Nazi fascism. The Islamofascism that I am facing personally in my life every day from the scum in this country, the fellow travelers who, as far as I'm concerned, should be rounded up before they harm us. What are we sitting waiting here like an abused wife? Oh, they didn't strike us yet, say all of the nice men with their legs crossed in the CIA, FBI, DHS, White House. Oh, it's a religion of peace. Their legs are sitting there talking so politely. Round them up before they strike. Get out the raid. Get out the roundup. Spray them before they spray you. But that's why I don't want to do politics. You understand there's only one solution for fascism. Crush them before they crush you. Throw them out of their damn country before they touch you. And they're still debating over whether or not they should revoke the passports of a terrorist. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. If you're a fan of the Michael Savage Show, I'm not talking about the detractors or the haters, but MichaelSavage.com, Stop the Coming Civil War. My book cover is up there. Pre-order today. Stop Obama from Declaring Martial Law. Stop the Coming Civil War. You press on and it goes to BarnesandNoble.com. I can't offer you the book. I wish you could bring it home tomorrow morning and put it on your coffee table or bring it to work, but I can't. It won't be out till October. The nation, I say, is in real trouble. The seeds of a second conflagration have been sown. Not between the states, but between true patriots who believe in our nation's founding principles and those I believe are working every day to undermine them and change the very nature of this nation. Not a war of bullets and blood, but one of commitment to freedom and courage. And that's all in Stop the Coming Civil War. But you have a role to play, which is to display this book wherever you go. Maybe, just maybe, we can save this country come November. Well, here are the news headlines of the day on the Savage Nation. Have you been following the vote for Scottish independence? Does it really matter to you? It should, because it's time America had some independence from Obama and his heavy-handed, thuggish, overbearing federal socialist government. And let me ask you something. Are you more worried about ISIS, the Ebola outbreak, or the latest baseball scores? Do you feel it's even possible to fight ISIS without ground troops? By the way, California has a proposition on the ballot that would reduce prison sentences for first-time offenders and, of course, keep prisons for people who are dangerous and harsh punishments for those convicted of violent crimes. There should be a death penalty, which, of course, they're not going to reinstate. But remember, California spends an awful lot of money in California is spent on prisons. Do you know how much? You're going to be shocked to find out. I think the number is $62,000 a year on prisoners to incarcerate them. And it only spends $9,200 per K-12 student. You hear this? It's unbelievable, too. So we're going to try to see if Prop 47 on the November ballot will change six nonviolent petty offenses from felony punishments, which can now carry prison time, to misdemeanor punishments and local accountability. Well, it will save hundreds of millions of taxpayer dollars per year. Let's see if it really works. That's a very big story. It's actually a good story. In Australia, the biggest raid of their history, I guess, they foiled an ISIS beheading plot. Yes, their friends from Islamville were planning to randomly grab people off the streets in Australia and cut their heads off. Really? Sydney, Australia? You would think that living on welfare and enjoying the largesse of Australia and that provided by the evil white male would have made them happy. But no, 15 people were arrested, all Muslims, who had planned to grab people off the street and cut them off, make a videotape, and scare people. I wonder what they're waiting for. I wonder what mosque they went to. Meanwhile, 300 people protested the raids. A spokesman for the Islamist group, whatever, said that there's a growing unrest within Australia's Muslim community. We're tired of being made scapegoats. The government is the terrorist. I would say throw them out of Australia if they don't like it there. Let them go back to their hellholes where they came from and not have welfare. I'm sick of this. They learned all these tactics from the vermin left here in America. They'll put your head in a vice if you don't stop them. Meanwhile, the Air Force has dropped under God, so help me God, out of their prayer because of one verminist atheist. Let me ask you a question. Have you made a recent visit to a military cemetery? You think those men would like to have the crosses broken off their graves? Because if you don't stop these vermin, that's what will happen tomorrow. And on that pleasant note, this is Michael Savage saying, God bless America's borders, language, and culture. Be certain to order Stop the Coming Civil War right on BarnesandNoble.com's website. And God bless America.
Savage.